been waiting to ask you this question to the end.
Thank you.
I think toward the end we got into a very important issue that your study has raised, and you didn't comment a lot, but there wasn't time to do that. And that is how closely coupled is development to population, mm-hmm. and how we could talk about coupling constants. I think you may be able to do some more work to develop a series, a whole theory of the nature of the relationship of development to population.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, the coupling is going to be much stronger where there's a huge transient population, as here,
right.
that needs services. We don't know. Your study wasn't designed to show you how tourism has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's extremely important. You wouldn't have the same conclusions if you did the study about Indianapolis.
Right. Yeah, this was something I really sort of came to at the end, too. Which is one of those things that was like, oh, I wish I could have thought of this earlier,
yes.
you know, but yeah. It's
very dynamic. It's a dynamism of the coupling between development and population.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't just take the permanent population of the towns as being the measure of the coupling.
Right. Right, because you're saying, yeah, if you only looked at that
only
and didn't
at that,
look at development land, you wouldn't get the picture at all.
You get a wrong linkage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's
so
a good point.
That's going to be important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks, Tatiana.
Darn.
I live in Tenants Harbor, and some neighbors down the street had to dig up part of a pretty extensive driveway system for that lot. And so I was ready, I don't think I did, but I volunteered to go to the town meeting if they were looking for a variance. As far as I know, they didn't get it, and they had to hire somebody to chop up and turn part of the paved driveway system into, grass or whatever.
Mm.
And I thought that was a bit extreme, but from being here and knowing how everything, all the little pieces add up to the big thing, I have to give the town of St. George some credit for enforcing. They're right next to Tenants Harbor, the harbor, literally. And so this gives me a different perspective on what happened down the street from me.
Your presentation, which was incidentally very good.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. Put a little bit of guilt in my head. we live in Port Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
And we live on Drift End Road, if anybody knows it. And we have about 10 acres of woods next to our little house.
Mm-hmm.
We know that 10 acres has been woods for at least 50 years,
mm-hmm.
and undoubtedly much more. So the question came about selling it, and to what purpose, and to whom. And we found a young couple who grew up in Port Clyde over 5-6 generations, and we thought exactly the right people.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't work out too well, so somebody else wants to come in and carve out a piece by the property, and carve out a piece in the middle for a parking lot.
Mm.
Village parking lot, which is sorely needed, I must say.
Mm.
Anyway, I feel guilty about what to do with this property now. You disturbed my rest.
Sorry.
Wait, I want to add one more thing. Since we have lived in Port Clyde in the summers for 45 years, we've seen change.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that even though only a few people come to build new homes, they come with a great deal more money, and they will build a home on 4 acres or 5
mm-hmm.
instead of half an acre, like the old residents did.
Right.
The fishermen were content to have a front yard and a backyard
uh-huh.
and a driveway.
Right.
But not anymore.
And be right next to the road with not a 3-mile driveway.
Right.
So there's another factor to consider.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complex and dense socioeconomic issue.
Yeah. One quick thing I did sort of notice, just looking a little bit in the demographics, especially like Vinyl Haven, some of the, obviously the census data isn't super accurate for this kind of town and population, but, it's a lot of upper class wealthy people, who are buying this and, building these large homes and, Yeah, it's not necessarily dense.
Meadows and grasslands around the
right,
house.
Right,
right.
Perfect.
Yeah, one bit of good news has been... one little bit of good news has been at the far end of the Semiset, that is the... there's a large plot of land that the owners were trying to find a developer to buy it. Mm-hmm. It was up to, I think, was it 80 homes or 40 homes, something like that. Anyway, so they couldn't find anyone, so finally some magnate bought the whole thing for himself.
Right.
So I think it'll... Presumably, I'm going to go and talk to him, but hopefully it's going to keep the forest standing. There's plenty of room to stick mansions already.
Good luck with that.
Somebody said it's going to be a family compound, so we'll see how many homes he builds.
Uh-oh, maybe the bushes are moving north.
That's much better for the land.
Yes.
There's less septic, less wells, less everything.
Yeah, less pesticides and all that.
Really, yeah, I think...
Because a lot of this is forest fragmenting, too. It's, as we saw this big bite that they did to put that salt pile in. Mm-hmm. Used to be a horseshoe of woods going around Mack Point. Now it's broken because, there are moose and things down there I've seen before, and now they'd have to climb over salt piles to stay in the woods there. They just won't.
Yeah.
Well, look at Glen Cove. When
you
enter Glen Cove from Rockport and Old County Road.
Yeah.
And... my husband's family, they own a lot of that land, and now my nephew's family own it. But, I mean, they've developed the whole mountain area there that goes all the way back to South Street, and they've developed it all the way down to the golf course.
Hmm.
And that all used to be wildland and farmland.
You say developed, you mean it's a bunch of houses now?
It's nothing but houses. There's a few open fields, but by and large, it's houses. And most of the people up on the hillside... are people that are only here a little over 5 months a year.
No, I'm really hoping this data...
But
see,
it's
this
tax
is
revenue
important.
That does it. The towns don't care what you do as long as you're going to get the tax revenue.
Right.
But a lot of times there's these single developments. If we don't keep track of every one of those through the planning boards and so on, they pop up with, without adequate info. I mean, I'd really like to see them go, well, what is this going to affect the greater forest... area of this area. Sure, you're just popping a three or four spots, but is that now fragmenting enough that these animals and those don't want to live here anymore?
Right.
I think that's very important.
I think the speaker has called attention to a virus.
Deer and everything.
Something like a virus that has infected the Venture Coast.
Yeah.
A slow-growing virus, but nevertheless a dynamic process underneath all the surface appearances, which is stealing legacies.
Yeah. It's definitely changing a lot.
That's what we do. We're humans.
Yeah.
Yes. We eat it up and change it and destroy it.
Well, maybe the whatever is after Homo sapiens will look back and go, they were like Neanderthals only with guns.
maybe the robots.
All
right. Hey, any more questions? I know he's got to head on down that lovely drive all the way down the way.
You were listening to an August 17, 2015 talk by Asa Via Research Fellow Kevin Freck on Penobscot Bay's coastal forests. Freck carried out his study on behalf of Public Laboratory and Friends of Penobscot Bay. For more information, visit publiclab.org and penbay.org.